The 100 Marathon Club by Darren Smith. To start 2021 with a smile, I thought I would open the podcast up to my listeners for a Q&A session. This is the first of two, and hopefully the probing won't be too painful.
Hello Darren, Baz here. Just wondered, what was one of your more surreal in-race moments? One of mine was probably being about 120 miles into a race and seeing a life-size dinosaur in someone's front garden.
Good question to open the innings, Baz. When I ran Ultrax Matterhorn, at one point there was an Alpine Horn troop practicing. But I think probably the strangest thing I've seen in a race was at the Liège Beer Marathon, where there was a 60-something-year-old man dressed as Greta Thunberg.
Hello, Darren, my friend. It's your good chum here, Ben. The question I've got for you is, who are your top three running influencers and why?
Thank you for that, Ben. As you know, I'm not a massive fan of those influencer types. There are people who I think are influencers, I guess, and do a good job at influencing rather than just selling out like a cheap whore. There are too many of those to mention. As far as influencers that I do genuinely respect, I do love Susie Chan. I think she's amazing. I won't buy Mizuno because she wears them, but she's not expecting me to. I think she just sells stuff really well that she personally believes in. As far as the others, I'm not going to list any more people. Thank you, though, Ben.
So here's a question for me in my dulcet northern tones. Of all the miles in all the marathons that you've run towards your 100 marathon target, which is your favourite one? So your favourite mile of any race that you've run. Take care.
Thanks, Matt. I think that's a very good question. What mile do I enjoy? Have I enjoyed on one of my marathons? Given that, you know, I hate them for the most part. I think it's the first or the last mile at Athens. You know, the first mile, you're actually in marathon. You get given olive branches by the locals to carry to Athens in yet more symbolism. You've got the Olympic flame and all of that stuff there. And at the end, as you're running down into Athens, into the shadow of the Acropolis, you enter the Panathenaic Stadium, and it is amazing. So either the first or the last mile of Athens, that would be my answer.
Hi, it's me, Millie B. I want to know what you think of Joe Bonstein.
Thank you for that, Minnie B. What do I think of Joris Bonson? Well, alarmingly, Joris Bonson sent me a wedding card when I got married, when he was mayor. What do I think about him now? Truth be told, and between you and I wouldn't trust him to sit the right way round on a toilet.
Hi Darren, this is Gavin Roselaar, our fellow runner from Edgware. I love the podcast, matey. What I'd like to know is, in the last few miles of a marathon, when you have to dig in, do you have a mantra in your head that pushes you through it?
Good question. Do I have a mantra? Ordinarily, I'm just telling myself not to be shit over and over again. Don't be shit. Don't be shit. Don't be shit. Rather than a mantra, what I do, though, is when I've dropped down to that point of exhausted walking, I tend to force myself to run a little bit. And I do that by just telling myself I'm going to run for 100, and that will be 100 count. So all I have to do is put one foot in front of the other 100 times and I can walk again. And it gives you this sort of mental freedom that you no longer have to put a lot of pressure on yourself to run, because you're quite comfy with walking. And, for this point anyway, you only have to walk 100 seconds or paces, whatever you want to count. And that is infinitely doable.
Do you feel virtual races are actual representation of the races that they are now virtualizing, such as the London Marathon?
Nope, not at all. So when you see people that have said, I've just done 4 majors, he goes, well, did you? I think you ran what you thought was Berlin around your local park, New York around your local park, London around your local park, Chicago around your local park. And now that everything is a virtual. It's a run to the moon. You're not running to the moon. I mean, I did a virtual over the first lockdown just to keep myself going. I didn't run across Tennessee. I live in fucking London. So no. To answer your question, no.
Hi, Runner's Knees. What is your suggestions to keep me motivated in winter when it gets cold and dark and I need to go out for a run?
Well, thanks, Kat. Much like you, I'm from a hot climate, so I don't like the cold. All you can really do is layer up. Personally, I think if there's snow on the ground or it's frosty or cold or dark, I'm just going to be working out on the Peloton. So I think, rather than, you know, trying to run through adversity in the winter, it's probably better to cross-train at the gym.
I know when it comes to race day kit, you're not afraid to push the boundaries. So my question to you, Darren, is what's the most outrageous race costume you've yet to wear? And how many of these race costumes have you kept and where? I can imagine you've got like a giant wardrobe with similar to Mr. Ben.
Wow. I mean, I don't think I have heard anyone mention Mr. Ben for about 30 years, so thanks for that one. I don't keep many of them, to be honest. I used to, but I just generate so much crap. I mean, not just my podcast or my blog, but the amount of, you know, the race kit that I have is just astonishing. So every so often I just have to go through it and either send it to the charity shop or chuck it. I still have my Boba Fett costume, which I wore at a race in New York with my good friend Luke and his 2 boys. I have a Ghostbusters outfit that I wanted to wear at the Liège Marathon, but instead I went as Indiana Jones. Most of the others have gone. I don't think I have many more of the costumes left. They normally get destroyed during the race anyway. And what do I want to dress as? I'd love to do a race, like a superhero race, as Deadpool. I think that would be cool. I am going to do my 99th marathon. If it's at Berlin, I'll do it wearing 99 red balloons.
Happy New Year, Runner's Knees. I have a question for you. As a mid-40s novice runner, is there anything that you wish you had known when you had started running?
A question from my own brother there. Is there anything I wish I'd known? Yeah. Well, I think when it came to it, it was all unknown to me. I didn't know anything about nutrition. I didn't know anything about race planning, a race strategy. I didn't really know anything about it, really. So it all comes with experience. And, you know, I always regret starting so late. I started running when I was 39. I didn't run my first marathon till I was 42. And then it's, I mean, is it that whole old, you know, that old, you can't teach an old dog new tricks or whatever? You can. And at the moment, I'm sitting up and begging.
If you hit a wall during a race, what do you do? And what do you tell yourself to keep going?
Thank you for that, Marie-Eve, over there in Canada, giving you a wave. I think when you hit a wall, and, you know, if we're talking about complete glycogen depletion, then there's not much you can do physically. All you can do is keep going. And I think I've done enough races now where I'm not ashamed to walk at the end. If you are completely burned out, then that's all you can do. So I think it's a mental thing. If you are physically beaten, but you still have a little bit of distance to go, just slow down. Milk it. Make the most of it. Crank up the tunes. High-five the crowd. Because you'll get through those last miles. It doesn't have to be pretty, because when it comes to it, the only statistic that matters is that you finished.
How many outfits do you own, really?
Yeah, a bit of deja vu there. Probably only three. I mean, I think I've got rid of most of the others, like I said earlier. I think I've just got a Ghostbusters outfit, Boba Fett, and that's pretty much it. So, thank you for asking the question. I know you think I have this giant wardrobe of dress-up clothing, but no, I don't.
Hi, Darren. I was wondering, which races are you looking forward to the most in 2021, and which races are still on your bucket list?
Finally, a question that doesn't involve me dressing up. Thank you for that, Marika. We will catch up in 2021 for sure. The big three races for me this year would be, I'm doing three of the majors. I'm doing Berlin, Chicago, and New York. Not virtual, the actual ones, if they do take place. I have a few others that I'm looking forward to as well. I'm going to do some two-day races. I wanted to go back and do both days of Race to the King, both days of the Cotswold Way Challenge as well. So I want to, this year my big challenge is to do 21 races, and the majors are the ones I'm looking forward to the most. A races, ones that I'm really looking forward to, ones that are on my bucket list. I still want to do finish Comrades. I still want to finish, or I want to run the Salt Lake Ultra in Turkey. I'd love to race in Hawaii. I've always wanted to run some sort of, you know, race. You've got the sea on one side and beautiful tropical landscape on the other. And I'd also love to, I'd love to run across the fjords. I know of a half marathon in Bergen. However, I'm looking for a full marathon that involves crossing big suspension bridges over the fjords.
Mr. Knees, what's the weirdest bloody thing you've seen in a race?
I seen a peanut stand and heard a rubber band. I seen a needle that winked its eye. And I've been done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly. Doesn't really answer the question. What's the weirdest thing? I mean, I've already mentioned, you know, the elderly gentleman with pigtails dressed as Greta Thunberg. Something that was odd and unexpected was the first time I ran Athens Marathon, and this was quite near the end, probably around mile 24, when I was overtaken by a troop of Polish soldiers who were all dressed as Spartans, and they were all in sandals and little outfits, carrying spears and shields with metal helmets. That was pretty weird.
Hi, Dan. My question for you is, when I'm on a long run, I usually about 3 miles into it, I need the toilet. And fortunately, my route takes me through some woods, so I can nip in amongst the trees and not be seen. But what's the etiquette? Because there's no toilets open just now. And is there any way I can resolve this?
There were a lot of poop questions, Steve. Just to say that in advance, I got a lot of poop questions when I asked for questions that I should try to answer. Surprising how many people want to know about pooping. As far as the etiquette, well, you know, this is a problem now, isn't it? The toilets are closed due to COVID, so you need to find an alternative place to go. Me, I don't want anyone seeing me poop. However, if you are caught short and you need a danger poo, then I would go as deep into the woods as possible. And also, you know, the thing that I do to do with poop, ordinarily I'm very good. I've got a cast iron constitution and try to avoid the, you know, shellfish vindaloo the night before a race. Just take multiple buffs. They are soft, strong, and thoroughly absorbent. Take Imodium. Eat lots of bananas. They also back you up. That's what I'd recommend. We're all very different, though. So, personally, I don't have a problem pooing between 7 and 7.08 in the morning, every single morning. So, I don't take calls during that time. And finally, one more question. Serena, over at the back.
Do you think running has made you a better person?
See, the short answer would be no, I'm still a cunt. But that's not true. I think it genuinely has made me a better person. It's certainly opened my eyes to a lot of things that I wouldn't have thought about before. You know, people who cheat, people who fake results, people who sell their soul for the sake of a year's worth of free shoes. But I've seen, you know, the good and the bad. And there is just so much good that I have seen. And it kind of inspires you to be better. You know, I've met some of the most amazing people in the world during my running life. And I think that kind of rubs off on you. I try to do good. I don't always, but I do try. And as I've always said during my academic life and whilst at work, it is the thought that counts.